I see smoke poofs. Smoke poofs. Does that mean people are blazing?
It's not cigarette poof.
That's definitely not a cigarette poof.
Laguna Beach, Season 1, Episode 6, The Best Part of Breaking Up. You ever seen a bum fight, bro?
This is Coming Clean, a podcast about the real Orange County, with your hosts, Sam and Marty.
Hey everybody, my hangover's cured and the sand's out of my crack. We're back from Cabo and we're ready to take on this coming week's episode. Marty, how are you doing?
Better than you, I guess. I had no hangover because my I was eight. I have no clever answer for you, so I guess I am hungover.
Yeah, the mind's a little fuzzy. Too many of those tequila shots.
Oh man, Cabo was crazy, but welcome to the number something podcast in TV and film on various podcast sources. I'm doing that so they can't fact check us anymore.
It's yep, good, smart.
So, welcome to the Coming Clean podcast, a podcast about MTV's Laguna Beach. I'm Marty,
and I'm Sam.
All right, what's going on here? What's happening this week? You have any news? I heard we got some big news. We got a birthday.
Yep, we got a birthday of the Queen Bee of Laguna Beach, ooh. LC.
Ooh, happy birthday.
Having babies and having kids. And birthdays.
Yeah, well,
yeah. I doubled up on the kids. On yeah, doubled up.
All right, well.
She's kidding.
How old is she now? Like 30, 31?
It should be 31, yeah, because yeah, Kristen just turned 30.
All right.
One mazel.
Yeah, mazel tov to Elsie, and congrats on the baby. So things are looking up for her.
Yep. Have you drank any more green juice recently?
I have. I've been trying to make that my dinner. I gotta say, getting sick of kale. So I'm gonna. If anyone has any substitutes for kale or spinach,
let I think me know. Swiss chard, I believe, is the is like the new kale.
Ooh, really?
Not a recommendation, but
just all right. All right, well, if I don't like the taste, I'm blaming you.
Yeah, well, that's what the farmer markets tell me, so.
All right, well, luckily they know. I live close to one, so I'll blame those farmers. But hey, support your local farmers, everyone. That's our public service announcement for the week. And I guess, all right, yeah. we have a big episode coming up, as we always do, but you know, we have concerts happening, we got some fights, we got a fashion show. It's very jam-packed in terms of the events that the gang has been attending.
Yeah, it seems like it's getting closer to the end of the school year, and we're just really trying to cram in as many events and, you know, the high school things that we're trying to get in through before graduation.
Cool. So let me tease this episode. I'm going to read off the DVD description before we really jump in. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. My pants are buckled tight.
Jeez. Well, I hope they're dark pants. Well, where did that come from?
That's weird.
Well, that's staying in. Okay, here we go. After the craziness of Cabo, Kristen invites Steven to a Blink 182 concert with the hope of getting back together. LC, Lo, Trey, and Dieter also hit the show. And when an outsider insults LC and Lo's character, Trey steps up in their defense. So, big keyword here, Trey steps up. So that means it's going to be a good episode because Trey's a main character now.
Yeah, I wish we did the full episode on our whole analysis on just Trey, but you know, we'll sprinkle in a little Steven and a little Kristen drama there.
Why do they have to have so much drama?
Hey, it's we're just living in their world.
True. It's their world, and we're just watching it 12 years later.
Yeah, and wishing that we were back in early 2004.
Okay, so any other initial reactions to the description here? I think it was fairly accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should have left out the about the stranger part,
the outsider.
And like the outsider.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a better surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that big of a scene, even though it was like probably one of the best scenes
right.
out of the whole show.
Right.
I would have liked it if they didn't, you know, explain it to me. It would have been a nice little surprise.
Yeah, true. And I think I emailed or texted you this, but the title of the episode itself threw me off a little bit because I thought this was really just going to dive into the breakup that happened last week, but
no. Yeah, I guess they put an ellipses at the end of that, so
yeah.
Is there like, is that a phrase, like the best part of breaking up is getting back together?
I'm assuming
or is it the
that
breakup
the,
sex?
Possibly that. That's why there's an ellipses or
yeah.
you know, is the rebound or something, but I know that they got the best part of breaking up. They got that from Folgers, that the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. That's
not copyright.
Got that. Yeah. That's why I sang a different melody to that, but not a sponsor, and Folgers, you're welcome.
And it's an itty-bitty change. That itty-bitty change. Shout out to Vanilla Ice.
Oh, whoa. That came from left field.
Word to your mother. Word to your mother.
All right. If you don't know, now you know. All right. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll dive right in. So here's some super cool music.
She knows this feeling all too well. She feels her heart begin to swell. Handsome stranger, you have made her insides turn to jelly.
I met a little person at a rock show. He said sluts, and I didn't know what to do.
Whoa.
That's my version of the Blink-182 song Rock Show, and we're back to discuss this episode.
All right. Well, I'm gonna leave the audience hanging a little bit for that one, because that was definitely a fun part of the episode, but we can't get to that until we tackle what is now our weekly topic, Steven, Kristen, and LC, and what the hell is happening with their relationship. So, first of all, Steven and Kristen back together, is that official? Is that just like a little date? It seemed like they're better than ever.
Yeah, I think it was confirmed, like, maybe like probably the last sentence, like, oh, I will love being back together with you.
Okay.
So I would say we are on the up and up, and Steven and Kristen have finally defined the relationship.
Yeah, true.
They took your advice, Marty.
They did. So, you know what? I'm taking credit for this, but the funny thing with, like, Steven and Kristen, like, we know it's, like, inevitable that this is gonna get even messier really fast, but it's just, like, just get together already, just so, even though we know it's gonna get a lot worse. It's like Ross and Rachel, like, when we were in, like, late season Friends.
Yeah, it's like, they're on, they're off.
Yeah.
Ross is having kids and having monkeys and stuff like that. And
so tune into the Friends podcast with Sam and Marcel.
I think that's like 2 hours of gold. Just me talking to like a little capuchin monkey.
I've already subscribed that it doesn't even exist yet. If you need a producer, let me know.
Might be my new YouTube channel.
All right, so stay tuned for that. Okay, so yeah, Steven and Kristen back together. So they started off right with, I believe, Alex and Kristen talking, and Kristen about Kristen inviting Steven to the Blink-182 concert.
Yeah, I mean, that whole scene. I love that. You know what, I'm putting my flag in that Alex is a very good friend.
Okay.
Because she kind of moderates like Kristen's feelings, and she calls her out on like, oh, weren't you guys just like at each other's throats, and now like you guys just talk for a second and you get back together.
Right.
And Kristen didn't even deny it. She's just like, oh yeah, like that's, you know, that's just how we are. That we're both like two fiery people, and you know, they're so similar and hard-headed that it's inevitable that they're going to butt heads.
Yep.
But yeah, that was a nice little start to see like where we're at checking in.
Yeah, so I mean not a ton of drama, at least between Steven and Kristen on this episode, but then now we throw LC in after what looked like a hopeful encounter in Mexico. Now yep. She's just like out in the wilderness.
Yeah, LC has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, she's...
I don't know if she's a... I don't think she's oblivious to it. No. But she keeps... She's just like the odd... she's just the odd person out.
Yeah, and it was just weird to me that there was... I don't know. I would have thought that after all that stuff went down in Mexico that at least a scene where Steven and Chris or LC were hanging out talking about it.
Yeah. Rehashing like what they're like what's happened, like I don't know where at least they are at.
Yeah.
Or I mean maybe that was the whole maybe ending beach scene that they're kind of like, oh, like I'll see you in college kind of thing, like let's be friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, still it's not, there's not like a really, there hasn't been like a full closure
right
between them. I don't know if we'll ever get it.
Yeah. So this, I think,
yeah, see, it seems like Steven will keep playing her along. Just, I don't know. But they're also like close friends, so it's kind of a tough, it's a very tough situation because you don't want to lose your friend you've known for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. But so if you do have romantic feelings, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. This just plays into what I was saying, I don't know how many weeks ago or every week, about how I know Elsie's being portrayed as our protagonist and we want her to sort of end up with Steven, but I still don't think that Steven is necessarily good enough for her, just because when he treats her like she's the safety school, yes, for lack of a better metaphor there.
Yeah, she's always going to be around, she's always there, and he just knows it's a crutch for him.
Yeah, so I don't know where I stand here. It's nice to see Kristen and Steven not yelling at each other for once, but
yeah, actually they had a nice little date at the end.
Yeah, putt putt. That's the stuff.
Putt putt. Get some what do you call those like edamame
or yeah,
like
edamame. Edamame. Yeah,
and then he did the power move of when he went up to her door, he picked a flower from her own yard.
Yeah,
smart move.
I think.
Why spend the money?
Yeah, smart move, and I think I'm trying to do another callback to another sitcom. I think we're the only ones who are going to understand this, but I think Greg did that on Yes, Dear, on a Valentine's Day episode.
And I would have to probably agree with you, because Yes, Dear is an amazing show, and Greg was on the forefront of suave.
Underrated.
Yeah, Jimmy had no idea about romance, but Greg was the true guy.
Yeah, so underrated. That's a preview of our recommendation of the week, but we're digressing now. But I will hold that. That's a good show to watch, and stay tuned for the Yes Dear podcast starring Marty and Mike O'Malley. So that's another thing for everyone to look out for.
Hey, Mike O'Malley is like a star.
Yeah, from Global Guts to Glee.
Yeah, guys, yeah, he had a big role.
Yeah. All right, so let's leave Mike O'Malley alone for now. Anything else on this relationship? Not a lot of drama, like I said, between Steven and Kristen this week. The drama seems to be with LC and Kristen. And if yes, we're gonna talk about that, we can transition into our next topic,
which is
the concert. Do we want to talk about that?
Yeah. I think let's do the concert.
Okay.
Because that was a lot of the action.
Yep.
I love seeing, you know, Blink-182 came out with their new album, one of their albums in 2003.
Yep.
And that's when we had this concert.
Yep.
It was Lowe's first concert.
Yes.
So a lot of big firsts here.
Yep.
And then it was just, it's funny that it's like LC calls Steven, kind of going back to our previous discussion, but like LC's just calling Steven just to chat while at the show.
Yep.
And then, oh, look at that. Steven is at the concert.
Yeah.
Pretty convenient.
Because, you know, they got, like, really nice seats because MTV had nothing to do with setting them up with those tickets.
Oh, nothing at all. Yeah.
I mean, even now when you can pick your tickets, it's hard enough to get four people together, let alone, what, six or seven.
Yeah, and they probably didn't even have to pay Ticketmaster fees.
Yeah, that was all over the phone, I'm guessing. It happened.
Vodafone. Please enter in your 7-digit phone number.
Okay, so I thought a funny part of that scene was just the Kristen eye roll when the Laurens were waving at them.
Oh my god, yeah. And she just ignored them, like not wanting to even go in that area. And yep. Then they force her to go over there.
Yeah.
And she just knows she like died a little inside.
And Steven was like, whatever. He had no idea what was going on. Yeah.
And then I also loved just boys being boys when Trey and Dieter were snacking on Steven's food.
I didn't just notice that.
Well, he was like, yeah, they were eating his french fries. And we're like, oh, what was that, $8? Oh, no, that's $3 every time like he had a fry. Just taking off money.
Hey, they're high school kids, and Steven's got a job. The guy can afford fries.
Yeah. He's bankrolling it.
Yeah. And sorry, let me take a step back. I know we're talking about the concert, but before the concert, Steven was at his job, and no JD, but there's this other woman there.
Kara,
there you go. Who seems to have some decent advice, too.
Yeah, they always do. The sage wisdom that comes from coworkers is... Yeah.
That's an archetype that I think is underplayed in many sitcom right now. So,
yeah, like the older coworker who's been, you know, worn down by the hours of working at the surf and tan or yeah. surf and sport, and then they've just seen it all. They just know.
Yeah, she's the Mr. Savitsky of Laguna Beach. Yes, that's another callback to Yes Dear. I don't know why I keep calling back to Yes Dear. I just want to show off my Yes Dear knowledge.
No yeah, matter. we only do Yes Dear references from now on.
Wow. Well, that's going to be easy. Just kidding. Where are they now? And it's all going to be all about Yes Dear. No, they're nowhere.
So, I mean, the concert was pretty quick. Yeah. Yeah, nothing else crazy happened like during the actual concert, but all the drama unfolded.
Yep.
In the parking lot, when everybody's trying to get to their cars, you know, it's crazy. It's Chula Vista.
Yeah,
is where the concert was at. You know, San Diego. It's basically I looked at the map. Chula Vista is maybe like 100 feet from Tijuana.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it's like basically Tijuana, the border, Chula Vista.
Okay, so and we all know the reputation of Southern. Fans in Southern California.
Yeah. Tijuana is a wild, wild place.
Yes.
Little T.
So they're at the parking lot now, and out of nowhere, this, we'll call him the outsider.
Yeah, so let's call him the outsider. That's probably politically correct.
Yeah, and that's what the DVD calls him, so we'll stick to that. So the outsider just comes out of nowhere, and I'm going to call it pulling a Steven. He pulled a Steven. From last week of just calling the girls sluts.
Oh my god, yeah. That's a good... Yeah, he did pull a Steven. Out of nowhere. Like...
Yeah.
And he used very, like derogatory... He was, like... I think he, like... I don't know if he, like, cut him off and, like, try to, like, grab Adam or something. Like...
Yeah,
I think
Lo
was saying she was, like, molested or, like, being accosted.
I don't trust Lo... these days.
Oh, well, okay. We'll discuss.
We'll get to that. But yeah.
That's a little offensive. But yeah, he was saying he has a big dick. He's got a fast car.
Mm-hmm. He got big friends.
He apparently has some big tattooed friends.
Yep.
And he's all about the bum fights. He was wondering if they've ever seen bum fights.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was like classic internet. Like that, those were the first things that people watched on the internet. It was like porn and bum fights.
But like, was he just like at, like is it was like that guy in bum fights, or is he just wondering, oh, hey, man, like, have you ever seen bum fights?
No, well, because he equated it to a shorty fight, right? Because he was like, you ever seen a bum fight, bro? This is going to be a shorty fight.
Oh.
And...
But, like, only one person short.
Right, yeah, that was it, and just... This might be, if I can find a good screenshot of it, but the image of Trey sort of standing
right next to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
which, I mean, I think the point of that is to go chin to chin, but
yeah, it was like belt to forehead.
Yeah, that could have that was just, I don't know how they set that up and how at least the cameraman was not laughing his ass off.
I mean, I have a feeling that, like, who would you take in that fight, though? I mean, Trey's probably got the reach and everything, but the outsider was kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean,
like, probably would have, like, ran away.
I would have stepped away because I wouldn't, if I were Trey, I would have done what he did, stayed calm, but.
Yeah.
I mean, if they actually got mixed up, the outsider has a low center of gravity, he's pretty stocky, so who knows how heavy that guy is and if Trey could carry him, like if it got to sort of a ground and pound situation.
Yeah, it would be like the yesteryear episode when...
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
When they fight the babies,
yeah,
the really large baby and they drop the Oreo.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like that's how like the fight would end up.
Yep, that's exactly it. We'll post that scene, classic scene. Don't know how it never won an Emmy, but classic scene. We'll post that on our social medias, at Coming Clean Pod.
Have you ever seen kids fight before, bro?
Oh, hashtag. That's a shorty fight. That's like an actual shorty fight.
Yeah, that's literally a shorty fight.
But yeah, so. Okay, they start mixing it up, but then, you know, cooler heads prevail. A.K.A. Steven steps in.
Yeah, true.
Clueless again, kind of. Yeah. What's going on, man?
Like, if it was a classic Steven move, he should have, like, backed up Trey and started, like, talking crap. Instead, he's just like, you know, like, let's all just, like, be... He was Polster.
True.
He took some of the theory, law of Polster, and, you know, applied it to his life.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't like, though, was when Kristen was like, oh, what's going on, asking Lo, and then she was like, oh, like, he was calling us sluts, and then Kristen was like, oh, well, Elsie looks like a slut, and I was that's pretty hateful, like...
And she did not. She looked very respectable.
She looked like somebody in the early 2000s would look.
Yeah, she was wearing, a sleeveless shirt and jeans.
Yeah, like a tank, and like low rise jeans that are also flared at the bottom.
Yeah.
To cover up your shoes.
So yeah, I mean, okay, I don't want to get too much into politics here or whatever you want to call it, but my question is with like I never got catcalling and doing that kind of crap. Because has that ever worked in, like, the history of mankind? Like, it doesn't even work when the wolf does it on, like, a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole process. Other people, like, I don't know, unless those people who are doing the catcalling only hang out with other people who catcall.
Right.
Like, it's just makes no sense. Like, it's just a bad look for other men.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. Never even thought of... I always just thought that was like a caricature of a man in a movie. But when, I mean, especially recently, it's come to light that it's like a common occurrence on streets. It's just like, why? I just don't get the thought process on anyone who would think that that's a good idea.
No, it's a terrible idea.
And, you know, if that's ever worked, ever... So calling all douchebags who may be listening to the podcast, if we're hitting the douchebag demographic and you do that, let us know your thought process on why you catcall. Okay, so lot of negativity there. Let's bring the mood up a little bit. And
yeah,
we've already started talking about him, so let's just make it official. It's time for the favorite segment of all the podcast world. It's Trey Talk. Trey
Trey Talk.
Oh wait, it's a Blink 182 episode, so it's Trey Talk. Something like that.
When your tray starts bleeding.
Whoa.
That was some other song. Last breath taking away.
Oh, all right. So, okay. Trey, we talked about how he handled the concert situation, which I think was the way to handle it. He stood up for his friends, but at the same time didn't step over the line.
He's a knight in shining armor.
Yeah, he could have easily gone for the low blow and said something
terrible things, like swearing. He was so calm and just, you know, put a little intimidation here and there, but he was basically pretty chill.
Yeah, he was on defensive mode, and we know defense wins championships, so go Falcons.
Ooh.
Well, when this comes out, it'll already be over, so. But yeah, okay, more on Trey Talk. So, besides the concert,
we have Trey's big AYA fashion show.
Yeah, AYA making a comeback. Hey, again, Trey, with that side hustle, getting a whole fashion show together, a hat fashion show, if you will.
Yeah, in like, it seems like it was like 2 days, because they had zero planning, and then they had zero planning done.
Yep.
And then they go to the concert, and then they manage to throw everything together in, like, a day.
Yeah, and we see the... I know we know how these guys turn out in present day, so it's nice to see that they had those... At least LC, Polster, and Trey had all those instincts with them even at 12 years ago.
Yeah, and it looks like the AYA helped to, you know, bring that out of them.
Yeah. So another big Trey episode. He's just consistently doing well.
Yeah. So anything like at the actual fashion show that you want to bring up? I got a couple points talking points.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One was that Kristen and Steven, they didn't seem like they really had a part in it because they were working out beforehand.
Right.
Doing a little workout montage.
Yep. But I'm surprised Steven wasn't involved.
Like. Yeah, not the best friend. Like, you'd think they would have been a little more supportive. And then while LC and Lo came out, Kristen still, like, with that hatefulness, saying, like, why would Lauren wear that?
Yeah.
But, like, it's a fashion show, so they make you wear that? Or is it just the hats? Like, I don't know.
Obviously, we don't know what she was referring to. But, yeah, it's kind of like, now you're just being a hater.
Yeah. A bunch of haters.
Just a couple of haters. But
I mean, and then the whole show itself, I was surprised to see Morgan was part of it. Other than, I mean, maybe she's closer with them than we thought they were. Yeah. We don't know what kind of transpired these past couple of days.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, I was going to say it might have been a senior thing, but then Steven nor Christina were involved, so...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just whoever wants to, support the good cause.
Yeah.
And then, Polster was killing it. Like, I'm...
Yeah, he was, like, in every... He was there, like, four or five times. He was walking.
Well, now he's a fashion enthusiast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he even got a new title. He's not only a party enthusiast, he's also a fashion enthusiast.
Yeah.
Which, big up to him. He's the owner and head designer for both of his clothing companies, Charge and Put Some Clothes On.
My question with that is, do they still exist, and where can I buy them?
Charge, I do not believe exists, and I don't think Put Some Clothes On clothing company is existing anymore. Yeah, so that basically sums up the episode pretty well.
Yeah,
nothing crazy happening,
right?
But at the same time, everything crazy happened.
Yeah, it was. I think it was another.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode. It focused. I think they just needed to set up that Steven and Kristen are a thing now, and then everyone else was sort of in this transition mode. The Trey storyline was a nice filler gap thing, kind of like Morgan and Christina from a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, I feel like everybody on the show's kind of got to get their own shine episode.
Yep,
and this was like Trey's big shining moment.
Yeah, he definitely shined.
Yeah, he took the reins. Yeah. Really.
Again, this episode, I think the law of Polster could be tested once more in another.
Let's test it out.
All right, so we are testing, just for the background music, the law of Polster. Again, for those who are just tuning in, the law of Polster is essentially hashtag no bad vibes. In that for any sort of gathering from the gang, if Polster's there, nobody gets hurt. Nobody's feelings get hurt. No trouble happens. So in this one, there was, I guess,
Do we count the meeting as a gathering?
You could. I mean, that was pretty standard.
Okay. I think just for this case, let's just call it a gathering.
Okay.
And nobody got hurt. Yeah, actually, everybody left super happy.
Yeah, very productive meeting. And as we see later on, they pull it off. The fashion show was pulled off.
Yep. Did anybody get hurt?
At the fashion show?
Yeah.
I would say no. Even with Kristen's haterade, nobody was affected and everyone left pretty happy.
True. Lauren didn't hear anything, so that doesn't hurt her feelings.
Yep.
And then I don't think LC saw Steven and Kristen, you know, kind of canoodling at the end of the show. So why would her feeling get hurt?
Yeah.
Other than that, I think people walked away even happier.
Yeah, I would say so. And you know what? I'm going to credit Polster with Morgan mending fences with LC and Lo. So that's another one.
If they didn't create this event, maybe they would have never worked together.
Yeah.
And maybe they never would have reconciled and had OC night.
Yeah. So,
Damn.
Polster crushing it. And obviously, we talked about this at length earlier, the one where people's feelings got hurt and the shit went down was the concert aftermath.
Yeah, what the hell? Why wasn't he invited to the concert?
I don't know. He was already hanging out with Trey the whole time, and Dieter shows up.
Well, so Dieter and LC are, like, very close friends.
Right, but LC took Lo, and Trey took Dieter.
True.
So it was just...
Poor move.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you bring Polster. Well, I guess Dieter is his
maybe he had to do, like,
he's the wingman.
Yeah, maybe he had to do some reflecting, and he probably did. No, he probably took a nice mental break, did some meditation.
Or you know what? He's so responsible that he was in charge of getting that fashion show together while everyone else took some time off.
Huh?
Leave Polster to do the heavy lifting because he's gonna do it because he's awesome.
Yeah, I like that. I like that theory.
Yeah, we'll take it as fact, because facts don't matter these days. Just like the points on Whose Line, and just like Greg's promotion.
Too good.
Yeah, hashtag TBS, very funny.
Well, with that another reference, he kind of brought my mood down low.
Ooh.
I think is a great transition for the lowdown.
The lowdown. All right.
Down low.
All right, so you stopped me from trashing on her earlier.
Yes. And I don't think that was going to be fair of you to do that.
Well, she sort of redeemed herself reluctantly, but I just don't think she's all there.
It fluctuates. It's a fluid scale for her. I think I stopped at a 5 last time.
Yep.
And I might still be at a 5 now.
Yeah, but I would bring her... I mean, compared to the last time we had the lowdown when I was all low on her, she's higher than that because she actually showed up and just didn't leave early this time. How much she actually helped at that fashion show, who knows?
Yes.
But at least she participated.
She participated and she was for a good cause.
Yeah, but she just seemed like... During that conversation with LC
she needed a little convincing.
Yeah, it was like she was looking for an excuse not to go.
Yeah, and she just wanted like somebody to help pick out her clothes prior, and then LC's like, no, I got to help Trey.
Yep.
And she was kind of like upset by that.
Yeah.
So... But she's just so like bubbly, though. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. The shine has faded for me a little bit on her. She
too much in-depth analysis.
I'm just like, I don't know if I were Trey and I'm hearing all that she's saying, it's like don't show up. I don't want anyone who doesn't want to be here to be here.
Yeah. Please leave.
Yeah, or you know, just grin and bear it, which she did, to her credit. She showed up, but just still pretty low on low for me, unfortunately. Oh. I need the hills low to show up and bring the sunshine back in my life.
Yeah, maybe it's like after the, like, through college is when she really matured.
Yeah, true. So we'll eventually get there, but anything else on low? Anything else pop out on this episode for you?
No. I'm all good. I think we did a good job. Another A+ discussion.
Oh man, if only Jimmy's kid could get A+ in kindergarten, he wouldn't be in trouble and possibly need to be homeschooled. That's a later season story.
What was his name? Owen? No.
No. Not Owen. I don't remember. Dang.
It was like something odd though. Not odd, but
it's something that Jimmy would name him.
Yeah.
All right, so I think this is a good time to take a little break as we take some time to talk more about Yes Dear off the air, because I don't want to give too much of that content out, because the Yes Dear podcast may be happening. So here's some more cool music, and we'll come back with games about music. So stay tuned. Never let you go. She's the one. Welcome back, and his name is Dominic. So, case solved. The boy's name was Dominic, and he was not very good at school.
In-depth research.
Yes. Okay, so we've gone through the episode, so now it's time to declare another MVP of the week. MVP of the week. Whoa. I don't know where that guy came from. All right, thank you. Okay, so are we going to try this again and try to sync our answers? I think you said we're going to keep doing it until it happens again, but...
Yes, let's do it.
All right, on three. We'll count down. 3, 2, 1, and then we'll say the name. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Trey!
Trey.
Yes!
Yeah.
Okay, not exactly in sync, but I... But you know what? We have the same one, but I think this was a no-brainer.
Yes, yeah, hands down, easiest MVP of the week we've ever had.
Yeah, so, I mean, we already talked about him for about 30 minutes earlier, so I don't think he needs much more explanation.
No, I think, this one short and sweet.
All right, so congratulations, Trey, for the first time MVP of the week.
Woo!
Okay, so, guess what? We have a new game, and this is just... going off of the Blink-182 concert, I was a little inspired when I was writing out the run of show for this episode. And I want to make a little mixtape for everyone that we'll have on Spotify after this episode. But we'll just call this segment the emo mixtape, where we talk about the ultimate mixtape of Laguna Beach using just emo and pop punk music. So... that is the longest title of the cinch. Okay, so for this one, I'm going to introduce people to a new voice. This guy's name's Connor. Hey, Connor.
Hello there.
First time, long time?
First time, long time. Good friend of the pod, you might say.
Oh, there you go. All right. Dude,
he's our resident emo.
Yes, hashtag resident emo.
This is right in my wheelhouse.
All right, so... we got Connor here because he's the king of this genre. Well, the pop punk. I wouldn't call him emo, but he knows this backwards and forwards, and he probably has the he's the most well-versed in, when it comes to his vocabulary of this genre, so we thought it would be a good idea to bring him in for this segment, and doesn't hurt that he's also a big Laguna Beach fan, so hey, stay tuned.
How many times have you been to the Warped Tour?
Zero times.
Oh man.
Not exactly the street cred you want, but I have been to Bamboozle once in 2007. Boom.
I'll take it.
Great, that's more than me.
And how many?
It's been a decade, but
how many Jimmy Eat World songs have you or concerts have you been to?
Two.
All right.
Well, yeah, that's pretty good.
No problem.
But yeah. I got a long roster of others.
Oh, there you go. So for
Marty has been in attendance at a couple.
Oh yes, and Sam has been to one.
That's true.
Yes, I have been to one.
And for those listening, we're talking about the now defunct band. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anne Berlin.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Sadly, I didn't go to that concert.
Sadly, that's correct.
Oh.
So.
And Marty got scared by scaring kids.
That's right. Yeah.
Also, I believe now defunct because RIP to one of their members.
Ooh.
Oh, seriously? Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm a little emo now.
Yeah. So that puts us in the mood to play this game. So similar to our Broadway episode, this time we're going a little emo on this. And I'm going to give some prompts and see if we can build the ultimate emo mixtape. So starting off with... As the namesake of this podcast, Coming Clean by Hilary Duff is obviously the iconic song, but if we go pop punk and emo, well, we'll just call it emo for the purposes of this segment, but if we go emo on the theme song, Connor, what would you pick?
Oh man. Are we going one at a time?
Yes. Let's start off with the theme song and we'll go the theme one song. At a time.
All right, so There is a playlist on Spotify right now. I think it is like the Laguna Beach season one sort of retrospective playlist.
Yep.
And this seems a little, this might be a little too on the nose, but there's a song on there called California by a band called Atherton.
Ooh. Whoa.
If you listen to it, you'll probably know it, but I completely had forgotten about this song.
Okay.
But it seems pretty appropriate.
All right.
For the show.
Cool.
Also, basically any Dashboard Confessional song.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah.
take your pick.
Yes. As Lovers Go would be pretty perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sam, what did you pick?
So, I had two floating around in my head.
Okay.
And since Connor's already thrown out Dashboard, I was thinking maybe a Hands Down.
Mm-hmm.
By right. Dashboard Confessional, but I am going with Swing Swing by All American Rejects.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Great pick.
I think just the riff alone mm-hmm. is a great for a, is like made for a emo Laguna Beach intro.
Yep.
And I believe it's about like, it's an uplifting story, right?
Yeah. Sort of.
I don't know. I always get confused.
It's a rebound. It's actually pretty on the nose for this episode. It's like rebounding from a breakup. It's feeling sad after a breakup.
That whole album is very much like a big breakup album.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but still Steven and Kristen break up all
like
the
getting
time.
Getting over
so
something, I think, sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So then that works perfectly with this because they have to get over every episode.
Yeah. All right. So mine. I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Do you ever feel like breaking down? Do you ever feel out of place? Because those are the opening lines to Simple Plans, Welcome to My Life.
Oh my gosh.
And that is my pick for this song.
I don't think I know that song.
What?
Oh, you know that song.
You know that song. Well, I'll send it to you later and it will be on the playlist, but that is my pick. And again, Connor, I think you hit that on the nose when you said this is a little on the nose, but I think it's a nice encapsulation of the drums that go on with these people.
Yeah.
All right, so I will leave this off, but my next one was for Steven, and I actually picked Swing Swing by All American Rejects for Steven. Yeah. Because it's all about the I pictured more of last week's episode when he got pissed at Kristen for seeing other guys and emotions are stirred. So There we go. All right, Sam, we'll go with you this time.
We're going counterclockwise.
Yep.
I went with one of my favorite all-time, one of my favorite all-time bands, Sum 41, and it's In Too Deep.
Yep. That was in the running for me.
Yeah, just because from the whole chorus of, because I'm in too deep, and he's trying to keep up above in my head.
I like how you kept the rhythmic pattern there.
Well, yeah, you can't read the lyrics without putting a little rhythmic pattern to it. But it seems like this is a perfect Steven song, because he's just always trying to catch a wave, and he keeps getting rolled under.
Ooh. Well, this isn't Bubblegum Pop, but it could have been Catch My Wave by The Click Five. Shout out.
The Click Five was on my long list. I mean, you know, just the girl, The Click Five was on the long list of, you know, potential songs.
Yes, and also greatest songs of all time. Okay, so Connor, what's your Steven song?
Okay, Sam's going to like this one. So got a little band called Cute Is What We Aim For.
Ooh. Yes.
Curse of Curves.
Yes.
Song.
Great song. That was on one of my short lists.
That was also on one of my short lists.
Yeah.
Solid choice.
Anyway. I gotta find my Cute Is What We Aim For shirt, where it just says cute is what we aim for. Great shirt.
Any particular line that stands out, Connor?
Well, the two opening lines of the song, slightly creepy, but it seems fitting, especially for this episode. I've got the gift of one-liners, and you've got the curse of curves.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Come on. It's just that, and they're from Buffalo.
Okay. Shout out to the band is?
Yeah, the rock band is Cute Is What We Aim For is from Buffalo, New York.
I was going to be like, how does... If they were from Laguna, that would be, from Laguna, but Buffalo.
I don't know, just throwing it out there. Shout out
to
Buffalo.
By the way, they're from Western New York, in case anyone was wondering.
There you go, the Laguna Beach of the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. I was just doing a little deep dive into what's going on.
All right.
And wait, also, I'm looking at their Wikipedia. They have, so there's current members, there's only four.
Mm-hmm.
But former members, there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. There's 15 former members.
That's...
What are they, the Eagles?
They're like a lot of bassists. They went through like 8 bassists.
That sounds like a documentary in the making.
Yeah, Behind the Music. Cute is what they aim for, they ended up with.
And they had even do a little chart.
All right. Okay, so I'll throw this back to you, Connor. This time we're talking about LC. What's the LC song?
Okay. We mentioned Dashboard Confessional. I immediately picked out a song which I think features in a future episode in season one. Song's called Ghost of a Good Thing.
Yep. Great song.
Which came to mind right away. You know, if we want to go, well, you guys go ahead. I'm going to try and figure out a sort of a non-Dashboard song.
All right, Sam.
You guys go ahead.
Yeah, so I am going with Misery, Misery's Business by Paramore.
Same.
Same.
Yeah, because that's literally what she's thinking about Kristen.
Yeah, and I want to give like Elsie a little bit of an edge.
Yep.
Because she's too nice. Uh-huh. But Misery Business comes in with that like power.
Yep.
That I think if Elsie just kind of got a little more like bad girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a good explanation for that, but a little more.
Got
you
some
know,
mustard in her.
Yeah, a little more mustard on her.
Yeah. So, I guess. But yeah, that's right on the nose. That's my pick for LC too. I think that's a pretty perfect song for her to represent her.
Yeah, that's why we're doing the podcast.
Exactly. That's why you two are the hosts.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's LC. So for Kristen, I picked "Sugar We're Going Down" by Fall Out Boy. Again, I think I had the previous episode in mind. Just from the I'm just a notch on your bedpost, but you're just a line in the song, because hey Steven, you're gonna play me, I'm actually playing you, so #you played yourself. So I think that's a good representation for Kristen. So Sugar, We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy, and I couldn't leave Fall Out Boy in any discussion of music. So Sam, who'd you pick, or what did you pick?
This kind of racked my brain a little bit, but I went with, well, I was going to go with Curse of Curves by Cute Is What We Aim For. That came for mine, but I'm going with Blink-182's Party Song.
Okay.
Where there's a whole part where Ig says, and then I saw her there, standing there with green eyes and long blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't wearing underwear, that at least I prayed that she might be the one. And, like, it goes on from there. And that kind of went back to last episode when LSD was talking about Lauren and dancing, about Kristen dancing on the
stage
bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that kind of went with Kristen's party mentality.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Cool.
That's kind of how I came up with that, you know?
All right. Connor?
Okay. So I picked a song called She's the Blade by a band called Sugar Cult.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you remember Sugar Cult?
I do remember Sugar Cult. I thought you were going to go with Sugar Land, but I was going to say that's against the rules.
A little outside of the genre.
Yeah.
Does Sugar Cult sing Dare You to Move?
No, that was
Switchfoot.
Come on.
Oh, okay.
Come on. I was thinking about Dare You to Move for Switchfoot for LC.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm adding that to the playlist.
Yeah.
Well, Sugar Cult is from Santa Barbara, California.
Yes, they're California. But they sang that song Memory, Bouncing Off the Walls.
Bouncing Off the Walls is a great song.
Yeah. And they have a song called Back to California, too, I believe.
Ooh. So, how many bassists have they gone through, Sam?
None. Looks like they've only had one.
All right. Okay, cool. So, last wild card character, any song. Connor, which character, which song?
Well, since they were at the Blink-182 concert,
mm-hmm.
And Lo was so excited in the episode to go to the show,
mm-hmm.
I went the rock show, Blink-182.
There you
nice.
Go.
For Lo. He seemed like happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
We're just happy to be there while everybody else was kind of miserable.
All right.
I mean, that's a pretty good first concert to go to.
Yeah. That's pretty made for a first concert. Well, I'm going to go because we were talking about this when we were concepting this episode. And
we're talking about how we think we might have the same song and the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of nervous here.
Well, I mean, I hope we're right, like our failed MVPs of the week when we hype it up, and it never happens until this week. But I think we're gonna get on a roll because mine was Skater Boy with Trey.
Oh no!
Not
close.
Damn it!
Not even close.
Well, there you go. We'll have more songs on the playlist then.
Trey didn't even come to mind.
Oh wow!
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Well.
So
now I'm emo.
Mine's more comedic, so my character is Dieter.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
And the song is Perfect by Simple Plan.
Yeah.
A lot of Simple Plan love tonight.
Yeah. just from the beginning when it's like, hey, Dad, look at me, think back and talk to me.
Does he have a bad relationship with his father?
I don't know, but I just picture Dieter like, sitting on like a house, like on a rooftop, and like trying to sing that. Yeah, it's like it's the theory of Dieter. You know, he's always like he's always playing at a disadvantage.
Well, that's because he sucks. All right. Whoa.
Wow, she would be slandering Dieter's family relationships and his personality right now.
Hashtag alternative facts.
Yeah, Connor's protesting our show now.
Hashtag Team Dieter.
Yeah. Ooh, ew. Yes. but yeah, all right. So if anyone has any more suggestions for a Laguna Beach emo playlist, hit us up at Coming Clean Pod on all your social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Medium that we haven't used yet, and let us know. Hashtag emo Laguna Beach. All right, so thanks for stopping by, Connor. Pleasure.
Yeah. Appreciate
you for having me.
We'll have you for I'm thinking you'd be an appropriate guest for the graduation episode, so I think we'll have you back for that, for the season finale of season one. We'll
have our 2-hour mega episode.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. So thank you for stopping by, Connor. We will see you soon. All right. So with that, stay tuned for that playlist on Spotify. We'll be posting that pretty soon. And we'll play some trivia after more of this cool music.
Tune in back time with those tasty tunes.
What?
It is trivia time.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah. So welcome back. Now we're playing the game that we've grown to love over these past 6-7 weeks. It's Today in History.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'll be asking Marty questions that I came up with. All about on this episode 6 air date on November 2nd, 2004. I'm going to go through 5 questions on anything that happened this day, and we'll alternate weeks. Right now the score is 9 for Sam, 7 for Marty. So it's a very close heat.
Yep.
Marty, are you ready to be stumped?
I'm ready to win.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh,
I like the
words.
Fierce...
I'm as confident as Jimmy letting
Jimmy
people in the lot.
Yeah, Jimmy at the guard booth.
Yeah. All right, let's do this.
All right. So, question number one. In 2004, there was a giant election on this day. What quadrennial presidential election was this?
Whoa, okay. So you're asking for what number the election...
Which election was this?
Oh, man, so this was Bush-Kerry. Obama...
Yes.
Trump's 45. Obama's 44, Bush is 43. This is the second term.
But remember, this is not which president.
I know, but I'm trying to... I'm going to go with... 80th.
No, it's 55th.
Oh.
Ooh. Mm. Wah, wah, wah.
Hey, you leave the sound effects to me, buddy.
Sorry. That was a tough question.
Because you said quadrennial, so I was trying to make it a multiple of 4.
Ooh, yeah, that would have been a good call. But you forget about, what's his face? Roosevelt's 8 years.
Yes.
Or more than 8 years.
More than 8 years.
16 years?
I don't know.
Terms?
This is, stay tuned for the Alternative Facts History podcast. Starring the news.
We should just pick a history topic and then just like talk randomly.
All right. I'm ready for the next question.
All right. You're prepared?
Yes.
All right. Question number 2. John Kerry was the Democratic Party candidate in 2004. He was the U.S. Senator from this amazing state. What is the state?
I believe he was the Senator from Massachusetts.
Correct.
Yeah. And, all right. Let's move on to the next question before we have any more political comments that are from two guys who don't read much.
Yeah, this was I was very shocked to find this out. Just kidding. Seriously. All right, question number 3. Theo Blank was a Dutch filmmaker who was murdered on this day. He was related to this earless painter. What is Theo's last name? Question is, who was this earless painter?
So I will go with Vincent van Gogh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you. Was he also Theo van Gogh?
Yes.
Okay.
He was. That's why I got confused when I wrote my question. neither have I. All right. Question number four. Jerry Kennettman died on this day in November.
Can you repeat that, please, sir?
Yeah. Question number four. Jerry Kennettman died on this day in November. He was a world champion blank. Many Dutch people love to do this every day. What was he a champion?
Ooh. Man, don't make me play into stereotypes. Yodeler. Is he a yodeler?
No, he was not a yodeler.
My second choice Jerry. Is butter churner.
I don't think you can be a world champion at that, but... No, Jerry Kennettman was a world champion bicyclist.
Ooh. Okay. Well,
so we had two.
Have you
Dutch
just been reading like the Dutch Times to get your research here? It's two Dutch questions.
Yeah, they died on the same day. I doubled up on the Dutch.
All right, double Dutch deaths. There you go. Hashtag triple D, not the Guy Fieri show.
Okay. Question number five.
Okay.
This is some more reading.
Okay.
Okay. Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan was the president and key factor of the formation of this peninsula nation. You can fly this plane brand to Arsenal Stadium. What is this peninsula nation?
Is it the United Arab Emirates?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Thank you for the clue.
So you went 3, 4, 5. That puts you in the lead by one.
One. Ooh. All right. 10-9.
It's a tight heat. And now you all have been informed, and let's get a little more informed about this music and artist.
All right. We'll be back. Alright, so that song was Absolutely Smitten by the artist Dodi from her album Intertwined. You can listen to more of this album on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and most streaming services. And also, go buy it and help her out. You can follow her at Dodeloddle. That's DODDLEODDLE on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. She's currently doing a hashtag VetIf, which is a video every day in February, I think is what it means. So go check that out on her YouTube. Great artist, great YouTuber. Can't say enough great things about her, as you can hear from that song. So go check her out. So that was a little bit of a recommendation for you, and I have more music to recommend, and mine will be The Search for Everything, Wave 1, which is, I believe, the EP, and some new music from John Mayer. So it's a little different from what we're used to from John Mayer. It has a little bit of flavor from all of his albums throughout the years, so... Only 4 songs, but all pretty decent songs, so I recommend everyone go listen to that. Sam?
And I'm going to recommend Hot Ones on the YouTube channel First We Feast.
Good call.
It's a great interview type show where the host interviews different celebrities and actors and whoever they can really get, and they eat chicken wings, and there's 10 different spice levels, so as they get hotter... the questions get a little hotter as well. The interview guy is great. The content is amazing. And if you love Rachel Ray, you can watch her eat hot sauce from a spoon like a boss. So it's great entertainment. It's only like 10 minutes at most, maybe 15. So yeah. Not a lot of time out of your day.
There you go.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Hot wings don't have to end after the Super Bowl. And if you're health conscious, just watch people eat hot wings.
Yeah, you can just believe that, you know, you can join their fun.
Yeah. All right. So I'm getting the go home cue right now. So Sam, why don't you talk us out of here?
If you want to just hang out with us, tweet at us, hit us up on that book face, or check out our insties on Instagram, you can find us at Coming Clean Pod. Or if you want to give us a little bit of money or any kind of love that you want to do, see us on patreon.com/comingcleanpod. Or if you want to send us love notes through the interwebs via electronic mail, contact us at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com. And as always, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you can get your podcast. What a great rundown, Mario, that we had this week.
All right. Special thanks again to Connor for stopping by for that emo segment. And we'll post that playlist when we can get it up. So, all right. Fun times, man.
Yeah, no, this was a great episode. My belly's hurting from all the laughter.
All right. Hashtag keep it emo, guys.
And always stay hydrated.
Worldwide peace.